9:30 here on the record. You're with Madeline. We just heard a little bit of Adrian Linker, Once a Bunch. Before that, some Mudrat, and up top, a bit of Small Fish with Sweet Taste. Now, changes to Western Australians' tenancy legislation came into effect at the end of July, and as well as providing more transparency around rent increases, the reforms now make it easier for tenants to keep pets. According to the Department of Commerce, pets are now welcome if you seek permission, and it's harder for landlords to simply refuse. With the benefits of owning a pet now widely accepted, it's great news for anyone who is currently renting. But what if you're dealing with a landlord, property manager, and a manager, how will this impact on a tenant who wants to own a pet? Here to demystify the sometimes complex world of apartments and strata is Samantha Reese from Australian Apartment Advocacy, a WA-based national organisation that works on behalf of people who live in apartments and strata complexes. Good morning, Samantha.
Morning, Madeline.
So how do the new laws benefit tenants in apartments and strata complexes?
So you can't be denied a rental based on a pet. And once you've moved into the rental, they can't deny you an application for a pet, which I think is really important because especially in the strata world, you've been reliant on bylaws and you're reliant on a council of owners who sometimes can be very prejudiced towards animals when in fact, since COVID and emotional pets, it's become, you know, top of the wazza in terms of what people are wanting as part of their home.
Definitely. I feel, you know, as you mentioned, being able to own a pet is a pretty significant improvement for many renters. If people don't currently own a pet but would like to, how can they go about introducing that idea to their landlord?
So definitely you want to reach out to your property manager first. And if you're in strata, definitely reach out to the council of owners or your strata manager. Do not get the pet until you've got the approval, right? There is a due course to obviously follow. And what you want to do is if you actually need to take that matter to, you know, the magistrate or SAT or something of that nature, that you've done everything right from your perspective, that you haven't jumped any of the steps. So if you actually request a pet and they say no, ask the reason why, obviously raise these new tenancy laws and then see what they might respond, because obviously some property managers and landlords may be reliant on people being ignorant of these changes. But at the end of the day, you know, I have a cat and a dog. I'm very grateful that my landlord sees no issue with it. And reading up on the Tenancy Act and the changes, you know, they can use the bond plus the pet bond to rectify any problems. And for landlords out there, you know, you'll still be going to have your regular inspections every 3 months. So if you start to see issues in regards to the pet, and let's admit it, some dogs like to dig, then you need to raise it with your tenant and make sure that they're taking steps. It's all about communication. It's not having a hard line.
Definitely. Now, I feel like there's so many different people involved in this. We've got strata managers, property managers, landlords. How do all these different people work together, and who should we really be approaching first as a tenant?
So as a tenant, you definitely need to approach your property manager and obviously the landlord. If the landlord says yes, and if you're in strata in an apartment, then you need to basically apply through the strata manager and let the strata manager know that your landlord's fine with it. And then if you have any problems on either side, then come to us, because we'll actually then help mediate that situation for you. Often if someone receives a phone call from the Australian Apartment Advocacy, they change their tune pretty quickly because they're not expecting to have an advocacy body involved in this process. But just be mindful, you know, what you want to have a commitment from the landlord is if you do get a pet, that they don't then conclude your rental period at the time that your rent comes due or your contract comes due, right? So you don't want to do is actually ask for a pet in the last month of your contract because they might then not renew your contract or your lease. So what you want to do is actually, you know, renew your lease or get into the lease and then ask for a pet, demonstrate that you are a responsible pet owner and that there's no issues, and that way then when it comes to actually renewing your lease, you shouldn't have any problems.
And are landlords in their rights to not renew the lease because that you have a pet?
They won't tell you it's because of the pet.
Okay,
will they?
No.
No. Ooh. So, you know, you have to be strategic with this. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if you can demonstrate that there's been no issue and then the then you are evicted or your lease is not renewed, you can take further action on that matter, right? But if your pet's misbehaving, then, you need to be a responsible pet owner. So that means making sure that they're not barking, onerously, especially if you're in an apartment building, that you're taking them out for walks, that you don't let them do the number ones and twos in common property, carry your dog downstairs if the dog is able to be carried, because they're less likely to pee as soon as they get out of the, the front door if you're carrying them and you get them onto a grassed area downstairs.
So how common is pet ownership in apartment complexes?
Oh, it's increased substantially. It has. And, if you go to America, people travel on planes with their dogs sitting next to them in the seat. They're not in the hold all, right? Or cargo. You can go into shopping centres with them. There's hotels that will take them. So that's the evolution that we're moving towards. So I think, at the end of the day, we have to get our heads around it. The Supreme Court case in Sydney a couple of years ago, which said you can't deny a pet, has definitely been a game changer in apartments. Now that's been backed up by Sue Ellery, obviously, with this Consumer Protection Matter with Tenancy Act, which is great. But you have to keep up with the times, and that includes landlords, darling.
Yes, of course, and kind of finding how to get around that. Now, Samantha, I find, I'm still seeing kind of on real estate listings that sometimes they'll mention, "Oh, no pets allowed." Is that, how would someone get around that? Is that still worth asking?
They can't
a question?
Do that.
They can't do that. Oh, okay.
So if you do see someone doing that, dob them in. You can't do that, right? And at the end of the day, if you're going to get a dog, then it might be worthwhile thinking about getting a smaller dog, especially apartments. They tend to also have an issue with the fact if your dog is over 10 kilos, right? So most bylaws don't let you have a dog unless it's over 10 kilos, which I think is silly, because you could actually have a greyhound, which is over 10 kilos, but it's such a passive dog. And yet I've got a Jack Russell with a pug, which they call a jug, and less than 10 kilos, but barky is all barky, right? So at the end of the day, it's not necessarily about the weight, it's about the breed, but just make sure you've checked your bylaws before you then approach your landlord.
Yeah, I feel, as you mentioned, it's all about all part of being, a good pet owner, a responsible pet parent. Mm. Now, you have mentioned a few of them, but do you have any more tips and tricks for tenants who want to own a pet and want to set themselves up for a successful outcome with their landlord?
Communication from early on is key. If there is an issue with your pet and they are digging up the gardens, let your landlord know. I know that you might not want to, but say to them, listen, this has happened, but I'm taking these steps to rectify it. Like, if people see that you're being responsible, they're going to have less issue with you. Don't wait until the inspection happens and the property manager comes through and then she contacts the landlord. Oh my God, the garden's all dug up, or, the balcony reeks of, or there's excrement on the balcony, those kinds of things. Like, if you have a pet, you do need to actually walk them a couple of times a day, more so when they're in an apartment, because they can't just get out in the backyard. If you find that the dog is not working in the apartment, then you may need to look at alternative housing. Our dog pounds and our cat havens at the moment are chock-a-block full. My cat came from the cat haven because her owners couldn't keep her in the rental. So just make sure that you actually, get in early with the communication, start the process, be responsible, communicate when there's issues, and everything should be fine.
Yes, hopefully. If people are having conflict with their landlord over this issue, where do they go to get support? What would you recommend?
Well, definitely come to us if you're in an apartment. Otherwise, there is the Renters Association or the Tenancy Association that can assist you with those matters. We're not government operated, so we tend to be a bit more upfront, kind of like interactive with the property manager or the landlord. We have a large media clout, so that does also help, because no one wants to actually be named and shamed because they're actually denying someone a pet. So that's our advantages. But at the same time, often it doesn't need to get that far. Often it just needs to have someone say, what do you need to have happen for this owner or for this tenant to keep their pet? And that's a dialogue that needs to happen.
It's so incredible that there are these advocacy groups in place to help support renters. And it is so cool to hear, about these new rules coming into effect. Thank you so much for joining us today,
Madeline,
Samantha.
Thank you.